Bangani, everyone. Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner, a place where we deal with serious critical thinking and courageous questioning about what actually is happening to the Afrocentric community or the African-American community. And we want you to feel free to ask questions and partake in it. We want to say a deep appreciation to Brother Rashiki Mascani for his providing us this platform to provide the Conscious Corner on the Community Education Network. I hope you go to the website and look at the videos, look at the various announcements and readings and articles that we have posted, and become a part of the family. We want to welcome Brother Ernest McBride Jr., who is an archivist for the Ernest McBride Sr. Legacy and historian on major events in Cal State Long Beach, at Long Beach, in the city of Long Beach, for its movement and struggles to be relevant in that community, predominantly white community. I also want to welcome Brother Machinda out of Louisiana for all his hard work deep in the South to keep us informed of what's going on. There's so much going on worldwide, but we only can do what we can do. We want to thank each and every one of the people there. I want to thank Brother Ronnie Roberts, who's here. I think you're in Oklahoma, right, Robert? Ronnie?
Yes.
Oklahoma. That's another space and place we need to get information. Ronnie is one of the longtime presenters on the program, and we want to welcome each and every one of you who are going to partake. We want to say also to Brother Kyle, who's on, and hopefully that you will enjoy this show. We wish all of you blessings without numbers, all good things without end. The struggle continues. Tonight we're going to discuss a number of topics. Hopefully we can get through them, because, and that's why we're starting this as fast as we can. And we're going to deal with the ban, the 12-country ban, and I think another 5-country restrictions that the Trump administration is imposing on mainly African and Arab countries. And we will also talk about the demonstrations that's going on with regards to deportation and the role of ICE and the role of the Trump administration deportation of many people. And we want to discuss those demonstrations. Are they justified? And what is the positions of each person that's on the show? And then we'll follow up with questions and answers. So we're going to start with you, Brother Ernest. What do you think about the demonstration? What do you think about the deportations? What's your position on it?
I think it's totally wrong. You know, I think it's we end up with a guy in office that he loves to floor show and look, you know, try to look bigger than what he is, and he loves to put on a show no matter what it costs. And that seems to be what he's doing at taxpayers' expense, because this whole thing is ridiculous to me. I mean, he's round and picking innocent people. So far, the people I see on TV, I haven't seen no criminals that I'm aware of that he's deporting. He's deporting honest, hardworking people that work every day. So to me, that makes no sense. He claims he's going to get in office and he's going to straighten out everything. Like they say, everything he's done is going to cost the taxpayer in the next couple of years. We're going to, and the budget is not getting any smaller. I mean, he's increasing it with all this crazy stuff. So to me, and I kind of think back to my daughter was telling me, said, well, you remember back in 2016 when he was running for his election, his own mother said that if he ever get in the presidency, God help us all, because the guy is narcissistic and he got a mental problems, you know, and we're seeing that now. So
that's good.
See if your own mother talk about you, boy, that's something to think about. So
okay. So Brother Mashinda, how you feel about immigration? How you feel about the policies and the demonstrations and what's going on?
Well, I concur with the brother McBride, you know, as far as, you know, this method is being used to round up folks, you know. It's, you know, people know history, you know, they've had slave catchers, you know, back in the Nazi days, we had the Nazi brown shirts scooping up folks. They had under Mussolini, they had the black shirts. You know, these guys are protecting the fascist institution. That's what they're doing. So in other words, you know, it's out there saying that he's got all these National Guards and things like that. It's protecting the movement, their movement. And that's what it's about. You know, using the, like say, taxpayers' dollars, the so-called military force to protect the Trump initiatives, the Trump policies and laws that he's trying to enact, and he's trying to show force. They're getting ready for that big military parade soon, you know. So he wants to appeal on the world stage, you know. He wants to present himself as a, you know, like them other guys, you know, those other fascist guys that's dictators and things like that. So it's no military secret, you know. I mean, if you're paying attention, and it's old news. It's just coming, you know, it's just Trump's turn to rise, you know, to his occasion. And then as far as the protests go, you know, you got people that's waking up to the fact that this is wrong. You know, it ain't what you do sometimes, it's how you do it. You know, if you enter the country illegally, they got things in place for that. You know, it's been a process, it's on the books, but you're going to take it into your own hands. Started off with all these, executive orders and all these things, you know, he's trying to push it far as he can go. And so, and this is another example. And with the Supreme Court basically on his side, he's pushing the envelope, you know. So I'm not surprised. I don't agree with it. Like Brother McBride said, a lot of hardworking people. You don't see no MS-13s, you know, being, you know, harassed and being picked up, the so-called criminals or whatever, you know, the people that are doing the dirt, the guys that are building the tunnels, the Mexican cartel. You're not going, you ain't sending the National Guards after them, you know. You're just going after, out here, there's the Mexican restaurant. And the lady opened it up, she's from near Mexico City. And she's legal, she got her paperwork together. And so I was her first customer. I said, oh, we might have some authentic Mexican food over here. Went in there. So anyway, she built up a business. And then she even opened up a little Latino store, you know, because it's got Honduran food, you know, just different Latino foods and things like that. And I said, she's expanded. A little meat market in there. So one day I went by there and visited her. I said, hey, she sat down at my table. She said, this is my first customer, she tell her people. And I wave at them. And she says, I said, how's business? Now, this is a hardworking woman, had about 140 houses that they cleaned up, you know, that she built. She had maids that would go and clean up houses. She's a self-made. And then she bought her a restaurant and built that restaurant up. She said, business is down to 20%. She said, I barely can pay the salaries for them or this and that. She said, I don't know what. She said, they're scared to come out, because she had a huge Latino following, you know, Hondurans and South America, whoever. She had different foods that she cooking there, and they stopped going because they're scared of the ICE, you know, and that's what's happening. So all I'm saying is, it's sad, it's going on, it's going to correct itself at some point. I can't tell you how and when, but it will correct it, it will be corrected. And so, but that's my take on it. It's an abomination, you know, and that's all.
All right, good, brother. Brother Ronnie Roberts, the Oklahoma kid. What's happening, brother? What's your position on these on these policies and practices, demonstrations on immigration?
Well, madness being done by Donald Trump, of course. For one, the ICE representatives doing what they supposedly doing. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I'm sure some of you are. A number of people who were of the 1,900 who were released as January 6th prisoners have joined ICE. That's just pure madness. But we know that our police forces throughout the country are filled with Nazis, white racists, and it's just a good old boy network. I know that most of the major cities in the country have fairly progressive minded police people in place in the progressive states, that is. But even in the progressive states like California, we have a rogue element in, embedded in the police force and part of the police mentality. And it's part of the police mentality, the blue code or whatever nationwide that still had been rooted out. It's one of the true evils of American society. Now, what Donald Trump is doing by sending 2,000 National Guard troops, and by the way, all the 2,000 of those folks are fellow Californians, to Paramount, to other places. The whole state is not besieged by this. It's the areas that are highly Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, whatever you want to say. But the reality of that is that's a smokescreen to hide what's going on with him and Elon Musk and him in Congress in session at 5 o'clock yesterday morning, trying to sneak these this big, bold, beautiful bill through. So it's as usual, Donald Trump is creating a diversion to hide his madness. Now, I truly believe what Barack Obama said, and I keep that in mind when I'm trying to judge or even want to have a discussion about Donald Trump. And it's the fact that, that Barack said this, and it's been said by other presidents in the past. Elections have consequences, and we're suffering the consequences of getting swamped in the Electoral College and losing all of the states, which I saw happening literally a month before the election. That's when I turned off all social media, all CNN, all MSNBC, all local news that talk that has anything to say about Donald Trump. I have not looked at a month before the election. How do I keep up with what's going on? And am I concerned as much as anybody in the United States of America? I am concerned. But I refuse to allow this maniac and his minions to live rent-free in my head. And I do realize that possibly I and many others of a like mind who couldn't really prevent what happened did not do enough to prevent what happened. But I don't think from a standpoint, any of the four of us to five of us could have done one single thing to have made a difference in this past election. Elections have consequences, and we're suffering from the consequences of losing, and didn't lose that badly from a number standpoint, but the Electoral College is the one that makes the determination. Seven states determine who is going to be the president every cycle, literally every close cycle, so we're suffering from that. There was no way Kamala Harris was going to be Donald Trump. No way. And let's be honest, all of us, there was no way that was going to happen. And deep in our hearts, we knew that before the election happened. And if we didn't, we're being remiss, and we're not paying attention to what's going on in this country. These MAGA people are dying. Their children are not embracing it as much. But there is a new strain of college-educated kids, white kids, who are embracing this strain. But their numbers won't sustain it. If any kind of rationality happens, and I think it will happen, he will lose the House, as all sitting presidents do most of the time when the House is so close, he'll lose the House, and the majority, the numbers in the Senate will go down. If he loses the House, that stops all the investigations and all of that noise and madness. I'm gonna be truthfully honest with all of you. The only really thing that Donald Trump has done that really disturbs my soul, because he told all of us everything he was going to do, So if I know something's going to happen and it's happening and it happens, I'm not going to be overly concerned. But I was really, really upset that the country just took him releasing those 1,900 criminals who were convicted of insurrection and allowed that to happen. And there was not more outcry about that. Oh, I was totally done after that. I've not made any political commentary, period, of any nature since the election. I said that I wouldn't. Professor Ra, I'm on here because of you. I'm on here because of Rashiki. I'm concerned as anyone, but my take is probably a little different at this point than many concerned, like-minded people and myself. I'm in a hold 'em, fold 'em move. One of the national commentators said, if you just allow this maniac to continue, what he's doing is pretty much irreversible in many, many instances. He has not passed one single law that affects anybody in this forum or anybody that we know. Not one single law or bill has passed. Everything he's done is executive action. Executive actions can be reversed. Will people die? Will people suffer in the interim? Absolutely. It's already happening. People who have been exported or deported, some of them not living. It's just not being reported. Some of them have been executed by the countries that they've been sent to. Are people dying? Yes. Are innocent people dying? Absolutely so. There's just literally nothing we can do about that. On the other hand, the border was a mess. Now, Biden came up with a bill to fix it. It wouldn't have fixed it, but it was a partial fix. And the Republicans were on board with it until Trump said no, because he'll lose his election edge. I'm more outraged by things of that nature than the actual things that are happening, because the border needed to be fixed. We did not need to have a scenario where 30 to 40,000 people are entering our country on a daily basis. We had numbers that were that high. Actually, though, when you think about it, he has deported less people than Barack Obama did to this point. So if you just look at the numbers, what he's doing is making a lot of noise, guys. All of this deportation, all of this banning these 12 countries, and all 12 of them are Muslim countries. And there is a fear, not only among conservative Republicans, of Muslims coming into our country unchecked and unfettered, but there's a fear from all peoples in this country, including some of us and myself. I don't want somebody coming in who doesn't care about bombing me and killing me. I'm not comfortable with that concept, but I'm uncomfortable with the way that they're doing it. That's my thing. There needs to be some checks and balances on people coming in from Muslim countries who are vowing to hate us. There needs to be an extensive vetting process. But do we have the mechanism to do that? Yes, but we don't have the political will. So that's a good issue. But bottom line, you know, the ICE raids, they are to deflect the man that's going on with him, Elon Musk. They are to deflect the fact that he is in the Epstein files. They are to deflect the fact that the Congress is trying to pass a bill that will cut millions of people off Medicaid and do nothing for our communities and give huge tax breaks to billionaires.
All right. Well, good, good. Kwame Nah, Chicago. How you doing, Kwame Nah?
I'm good, brother. How are you all?
All right, man. So what's your position on this immigration and demonstration, and how's Chicago? Are they having any issues?
Chicago got Mayor Brandon Johnson, who's not supportive of ICE and what they're doing. He's a progressive brother. He's getting a lot of flack from a lot of confused Africans out there who think that our enemy are the immigrants and they want them gone and all that too. So I just, but another brother from Chicago, Fred Hampton, his son, Fred Hampton Jr., said that we respect no colonial borders. We respect no colonial borders. And we understand that it's imperialism is the reason why so many people from some areas that are, I mean, I know like LA is a nice environment, but Chicago, they come up to Chicago to try to come up and get theirs. Whether they know it or not, they're simply trying to get theirs that was taken from them by the US imperialist, Western imperialist. that that exploits and oppresses them, supports these desperate, horrific leaders out there who do their bidding, where they can steal their resources, take their resources. I mean, why would somebody from Venezuela want to come up to Chicago in the cold? You know, why? Because the United States has a blockade on them, you know, because they want to control their oil resources. So, I mean, that's how we feel about that. And but, you know, growing up in South Bay, growing up in Compton and Carson, graduated from Dominguez, I saw, you know, back in '80s, I saw it was mostly Africans there. And now to see it today, you know, I'm still like, wow, I mean, where are we? Where did we go? You know, and I think about, again, my brother Fred Hampton Jr., who also said that the new housing for Black folks is prisons and cemeteries. And so it's, I don't know, so I think about that too. But I can't be mad at people for looking out for themselves. We just have to look out for ourselves. I think about Malcolm on his 100th anniversary of his birth. And when he, and my favorite speech from him, Ballad of the Bullet, when he talked about controlling the businesses in, the in your community, controlling the politics in your community. And he mentions you can't go to a white town and open up a business. They wouldn't patronize you. He said, they're not wrong. They're looking out for themselves. We have to look out for ourselves. So we got to do better at that. And I think about, too, the whole thing about, you know, abandoning these countries, these Muslim countries. Man, all the stuff in the United States is supporting what's going on in Palestine. I mean, I'm glad they're not over here bombing. But man, that's, I mean, I don't see it as, I just see it as a made-up threat more so than, you know, to put that fear in our eyes, because there's a bunch of people, Muslim people who are here and who aren't doing that. So I don't, I just, I kind of struggle with that too, because I know it's made up. They try to, you know, fear monger to keep their military industrial complex going, keep that money flowing. But yeah, but in terms of what's going on with ICE and immigration, no, I'm not, you know, of course, I'm not with that. I'm not with how they treat the people. I think people are just trying to do better for themselves. And again, we just have to do better for ourselves. You know, we struggle. We talk about the resources, but they give them all this money and they do this and that. Put all the money going to the military budget out there to kill people, to commit genocide on people. You know, we should be struggling against that more so. Mm-hmm. But that's my take on it.
All right, good, good. Brother Kyle, are you there? You're on mute.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your position on this demonstrations and immigration and deportation?
Well, I'm, you know, I was here to just listen and hear what everyone else said. And I agree a lot, especially what Brother Robert said about, you know, literally us being neutral in this, because it's the idea of policy, you know. And you think about how when Obama came in, he did executive orders that changed what Bush did. When Trump was elected, he did executive orders that changed what Obama put in place. And then when Biden came in, he did the same thing. And now Trump is doing the same thing. So when these presidents come in, they change policies. But what really stuck is what the Affordable Health Care Act, right? And it took, you know, McCain to be the final vote against it, right, for it to stay and be passed by Congress. And that, and these policies that are enacted are voted on by the people, and they're voted on by our representatives. So we need to understand who we are putting in office that represents us above and beyond, because they are the ones who are creating and writing these policies, these laws that are dividing us one side or the other. It's right now, it's, are you for the law or are you against the law? And if we don't like the policy, it was voted on and it was passed in Congress, and Congress are, and the Senate are people that we elect into office. So we had, so we first had to decide how are we going to fix that issue. And that's where I stand on all of it, actually.
Oh, good. Thanks, Kyle, for that. Brother Rashi Key, how do you feel about these things?
Well, I feel my feelings is
is that most of it is incorrect. And then, you know, we talk about things all the time, and the power structure is in place for them to maintain their power. And, you know, different people spoke on that in indirect ways. They have to keep doing things to keep them in position to maintain what they started, you know, which is all incorrect. And then, oh man, I lost my thought. But, I haven't did any deep diving on it, and what I heard today, and what I hear most of the time is basically we're going around and around about what they're doing. And I think Cal made a good point where we have to really get into a vote for the people that represent us in the Congress and the Senate. You know, make sure they're representing our interests. And it's so much that happens where my ultimate thinking is we have to change our behavior. And Professor Rye, you said it many times, don't let your oppressor be your teacher. Some of us get to the point where we Brother Hembrick be talking about, we really think we're included in this. But I mean, we can think that all we want. We have to get ourselves together and fight against this, fight against how we've been duped into this system. So I'm that's where I'm at into changing the mental capacity that we have when we just under this oppression, we started giving in to them and thinking that the way they live is the way we should live, which is totally wrong. So I'm gonna leave it right there.
All right, deeply appreciate all the comments. They were excellent. Everybody made excellent points. I'm just gonna try to put in a few points myself. You know, this is a continuation of the struggle. Like Brother Robert said, and Brother Kyle, and most of you know that immigration has been a problem when it comes to people of color. They don't talk about the Canadians that come here. As a matter of fact, they used to come and they didn't even check them. They just back and forth all they want. And some stayed. And they're not dealing with the Russians, the Germans, and the Europeans that come here. Even Trump's wife and her dad got special privileges to come here. And they're not dealing with the fact that Trump has asked for South Africans to be labeled as refugees under some fake genocide. And even though the African government came out and said, man, ain't none of that happening. And me and white Africans, they say, we ain't leaving. There ain't nothing like that happening. As well as when his first term, he talked about we need more European babies, more European people to come. You know, and when it came to immigration. So his policy is a continuation of racism, not only in and our continued struggle against it. Being silenced is complacent. It's like supporting it. That's what Martin Luther King said in his book from the Birmingham Jail. There were many people against the civil rights movement. Many people against the civil rights movement. And he wrote that that letter from Birmingham Jail to ministers who was criticizing him, saying he was coming to their towns, disrupting things. So you have to look at it from that perspective also.
Oh, wow.
It's just a continuation of our struggle. Since we've had contact with the European of the third kind, where we actually met and interacted. And that's not only here. But wherever you find African people of people of African descent in the Caribbean, and on the continent, and wherever they are on the in the diaspora, so that's very critical. The second thing is that we got to compliment the people on resistance, even though you may not agree with some of the tactics some of the people are using in the resistance to the deportation and they're, you know, some people are taking advantage of it, a criminal element, but that was they were there in Black Lives Matter. They were there in Ferguson. They were there in the civil rights movement. You always have socialists, European socialists and communists that come in to fan the flame and put on all black and hoodies and create crimes and encourage others to do it. Not that all of them did it. Some of the people just did it because they're hungry and they just saw an opportunity. But the majority of the people were peaceful. Second, when it comes to immigration, you know, the earth is round. And when the creator or the evolution of this planet, the only borders were natural borders, oceans, mountains, deserts. Those were the borders that limited people migration or immigration to certain land. It's only people that make up laws of immigration. Now, should you have health screening? Yes. Should you have a better process, as Ronnie said? Yeah. And as Trump said, elected say, you can't fix the border. Then I ain't got nothing to run on. You understand? And he said that throughout his campaign. You know, the first one, the second one. You understand? But that's just an excuse. That's just an excuse. Hundreds of thousands been coming over here for years. Some has migrated from a migration standpoint. I mean, they come here to work and they go back across the border. Ronnie and my brother, you know, we used to go to Tijuana. There was always people going and coming.
Right. I used to be crossed.
Cross over and you go back. A lot of people don't want to move from where they are, but they come here for jobs. Then these companies go over there and open up companies and warehouses and hire only the women and don't hire the men. But getting back to the point, so we have to commend those that are out there doing rightfully angry and rightfully resistance of what is going on. It was our battle cry, no justice, no peace. And it's definitely no justice when you say to the people to get their support, we're getting rid of criminals, people that have been convicted of serious crimes, and those that are in jail and prison. Yeah, okay, who was afraid of that? But there are black people that went before the courts and said, deport me rather than send me to prison. And they said, no, you got to stay here and do your time. And that's it. So, you know, deportation, it goes different ways. You say volunteer deportation for them, but brothers and sisters that's in prison say, hey, let me go to the Caribbean, deport me to a Caribbean country or to Africa or somewhere, or even to a European black predominant country. They won't let you. They won't even let you have dual citizenship. But white people can get dual citizenship in their countries. But getting back to this point, so resistance is good. We are a people that they borrow our songs, they borrow our phrases, they learn from our demonstrations how to pursue justice. And even in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence, they say if there's a long train of injustices by your government, you have the right to resist. That's why they say you have rightful protest. You understand? So that's very important against the government. If it's creating cruelty and misuse of its powers, you as a citizen. That's what militias are about. That's what the right to bear firearms is about, in case your government trip. You understand? But let me tell you this. Now, Trump then sent 4,000, he's commissioned 4,000 National Guard. And he's commissioned another 700 Marines to guard federal buildings. Do you know how many Latinos it is? If you add up all their soldiers and all their police, that still comes to no more than 5 police for every 1,000 Latinos. You understand? It's 2 police for every citizens in Los Angeles and California. There is millions of people, man. You know, they can send all them troops they want. The only thing that keeps them with power is their weaponry and their armory. But other than that, you know, that's why we ran them off in 65. They were unprepared. You understand? We had the police, highway patrol, leaving their cars, running. I was there, brother. I was in it. So don't tell me that they can control this. And so we have to applaud the people that's resisting, rightfully resisting, because they're taking their family members. He said he's going to get rid of criminals, and he's at Home Depot. He's at the taco stands. He's going into various places, you know, people who don't even have a record. And they send them, not deporting them to a country, but putting them in prisons and taking taxpayer money to pay $1,000 for each criminal in that El Salvadoran jail. You understand? Corrupting the leaders and trying to do it to Sudan, to Sudan. You know, we have to think of some of our issues is most people think they got all the answers. You know, they come with their philosophy, their ideology, their perspective. Most people don't study, don't work with other organizations, don't listen to other podcasts, and don't really listen to other perspectives. There's nothing new up under the sun. We've had armed struggle here. We've had nonviolent struggle here. We've had political struggle here. We've had economic boycott. And we've made a lot of progress as Black people. You understand? But we can't stop the struggle because they demonize you and say you're a criminal and exploit the fringe groups that are out there. And if you look at it, most of them are white. Many of them are white. That's out there. They got on all black, becoming the same people that was with the George Floyd thing. You understand? Just pay attention. And they're encouraging the looting and the ripping off. The other thing is, as Ronnie said, he made a very excellent point. This is about diversion. While you're looking at him in demonstration, him and his sons are one in the banks and in the stocks and the Bitcoin, stealing all the money they can. Second, as Ronnie said, he had to divert his fight with Musk. You understand? So he's creating a lot of this craziness so that people are not on this case about their fight with Musk. Third, the diversion is one in which they enter. Take away what's going on in Gaza. I mean, you know, I mean, here they are stopping 8 people here, letting babies starve to death, children and grown-ups starve to death, poisoning the water, shooting them down, shooting them in the head. I want you to understand what's going on. So you ain't even hearing about what's going on in Gaza. You understand? And then, you know, and divert their evil support of Israel. Israel couldn't be doing all this bombing if America wasn't giving them the bombs. And they wouldn't be in Gaza if America tell them to get out. So the America is just as complicit. You know, they gave them the green light to commit genocide in our time and date. The only thing we can do is educate people, as Ronnie say and as Kyle say. Educate people, our families, our friends, and as you say, when we vote, vote. But also support groups that are resisting and doing the 4 things that are important. Education, mobilization, organization, and then confrontation. Those are the four elements of struggle. Education, you got to educate the people. You got to. Because if you listen to the Trump, like he said, LA is burning down. You know? And what is downtown LA? That's it. You know how many shopping centers LA got? You know how many places? What about the Wilshire District? What about Beverly Hills? What about, you know, other areas, Los Angeles? And we ain't even talking about the county. We just talking about a city. But like I said, there got to be at least 6 to 7 million Latinos in Los Angeles area, East LA, Huntington Park, Southgate, Monterey, you know, Baldwin Hill. You understand? Oh, come on, man. Think about it. They always been here. Ron, you and Ernest, remember the Latinos? All they used to do is fix up their Chevrolets. You understand? They had the car clubs. You know, many of them. You understand? Crossbars, teardrop, candy apple red, canary yellow cars, and all that type of stuff. They still do it. But they didn't, you know, they took a low profile. They had more business, always had more businesses. We have about, at the most, 20,000 corporations and businesses in California as Black people. They have 5 million businesses and corporations, Latinos, but they're a different type of Latino. And this set the stage possibly for them to unite and put down their ethnic conflicts. They're Salvadorians against the Nicaraguans and Nicaraguans against the Ecuadorians and all of that stuff. All of that. They ever unite and begin to be a political force. Maybe things have changed. But the middle class Latino is like many middle class Black people, conservative. Now, Ronnie, you in Oklahoma? You had that boy Watts, I think he was, a Black brother that was a congressman.
Basically, Watts, quarterback for you, Republican. Yeah.
Most Black people in the South are Republicans.
Yeah.
They grew up as Republicans. And they won't change their party, man. And I'm going to tell you something else. Many Black people support Trump's immigration policy. We have learned to be prejudiced like the white man. I mean, you'd be surprised, brother, at the people that say Mexicans taking over the project. I was teaching, brother, said, man, Mexicans taking over the project. I said, I'm glad. You understand? We've been trying to get you out of them for years. You understand? Well, I mean, listen, you take their resources. Make sure they can't get an army. Make sure they don't unite. And then put up a fake border. You understand? Everybody knows that ain't nothing but Baja California, Tijuana. You understand? I mean, this is a big old gate. That's all it is. You cross over, you cross back. And when it comes to drugs, everybody knows most of the drugs are made here. Man, remember the crack epidemic, the sherm epidemic? The biggest drug is liquor. You understand? It's a liquid drug. That's all it is. They make that legal. I just want you to understand the contradictions. So we support that. And as far as Trump trying to, as Karen Bass said, use this as an experiment to see how far he could go with militarization of the army, because he's over the commander-in-chief of all armed forces, not some, all armed forces, except for the National Guard. The governor is over his. That's why each state have a National Guard to protect itself, not only from catastrophic issues and insurrections and things of this nature within their state, but also from their own federal government. You understand? That we tried to impose. That's why the governor is supposed to be in control. But if you declare a nationwide insurrection, then the president can take over your National Guard to save the Union. But they don't care about no laws. Trump got 39 felonies, and the people still voted for him. You understand? And so the issue is, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with it? And the 12 countries he's banning are all African and Muslims, for the most part. No white, not one white country. And he excused the two countries that's responsible for the major terrorism. The people that blew up 9/11 was from Saudi Arabia. The man that they chopped up and killed, that was in Saudi Arabia. You know, they excused Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and I think Syria. They didn't even put them on the abandoned. And America started ICADA. They're the ones that put them in power and sold them weapons to fight other Muslims and to fight for their interests. So we look at that. So, and this escalation, and they're talking about Trump and the army and the National Guard is just escalating things. What if the Latinos start escalating and go from demonstrations? They got gangs, they're well armed. So there's a possibility there may be double escalation. You understand? So the struggle must continue. And then chemical warfare, when you put all them smoke bombs and pepper spray on people, that's chemical warfare. That's chemical. Those are chemicals they spraying on people like they roaches. You understand? For peaceful protesting. And so you have to look at that. And then, as I said, this is about him instituting public policy. And remember, the courts, and Ronnie, you know, and I know you do too, Ernest, because I know y'all study and read. And I'm not saying other people don't, Kwame, I know, because you've been active in struggle. When it comes down to the courts, they're the ones that said separate but equal. They're the ones that said Presley versus Ferguson. They're the ones that said their fugitive slave laws. These were courts, federal courts, that justified the enslavement of and they're the ones that upheld every violation of the Native American treaties and said America had the right to break them. 250. And they had white slaves, but they didn't call them slaves. They called them indentured servants because they can get out. We call this chattel slavery because ours was for forever. And those were the courts that allowed that. Now, Trump owned the Supreme Court, the majority. All they had to do was give them some chili Fritos and a couple of them chitlin omelets and hog maw sandwiches. And they let them ride on their boats and in their private planes, first class, and they'll vote any way Trump want them. You see that? You see that in your face. There's no regulation that say they can't accept bribes. You understand? And the Congress is the same way. And the Senate is the same way. You understand? It's about money. Why would you stay in office from 21 or 22, 23 till you're 85? For what? And still won't give it up. You know? And I'm talking about even black Congress people. Maxine Waters is 85 years old, man. And she ain't trained nobody to take her place. Because they want the power. You understand? And they just following the white people. Nancy Pelosi's 80-something. Mitch McConnell's damn near 80-something. I want y'all to understand, this is about money. You understand? They don't care about people. Neither party. As Malcolm said, as Kwame and I would say, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I'm not even an American. And I got sense enough to know it. Because if I was an American, I wouldn't be catching the hell I'm getting. So we look at this immigration policy. And Ronnie is right. They should have done had a policy of how to let people in the country, then they wouldn't be sneaking in. You understand? The reason they're sneaking in is because it takes so long. And they don't have no policy by which they can file and come in regularly in a legal way. And even when they come in legal, they can reverse it, like Kyle was saying. You know, they turn the crimes over. Each president changed the policy, turning public policy and customs and tradition into doing evil deeds. So anybody have a response to what I just said? Ronnie?
I think we're all in pretty much agreement that what's going on is just a smokescreen for the larger picture of looting the country of resources, raising the taxes on most of us so the billionaires can reap benefits, the techno class, him and we knew he and Musk would fall out. That's a smokescreen. He's just gotten so much money from this Bitcoin madness, crypto coin madness going on since he's been in office. It's all about the money because they know that the power, you know, like Elon Musk said something the other day. He said, I'll be around for another 45, 50 years. Trump's got 3.5. You know, that's a powerful statement. You know, this man has $350 billion. That's obscene.
Yeah.
That power, that's just obscene. But then again, it's all a smokescreen for them. And the key thing here, all of this is about white supremacy or the maintenance of white supremacy. Everything we're talking about goes right back to the maintenance of white supremacy and the fact that the white man is quickly becoming a minority in his own country. Another 25 years, numbers, there'll be more Latinos in this country than anything.
Yeah,
but they doubled us. You gotta understand, the Latino population doubled us in 10 years.
Yeah, but you see what they start fighting. Must say he's a pedophile hanging out with Einstein, Epstein, and Trump say he's a dope fiend.
Yeah.
I mean, they're calling each other names. I mean, like children, man, like children.
Like children.
You know, your mama's a whore, but your daddy do this, your daddy's a punk. You know what I mean? What's going on here? These are presidents and billionaires. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it played right out in front of her. It's a name calling.
One of Trump's big things was stop the steal. We need to reverse that on his ass. He's the one stealing.
Yeah.
Well, stop the steal. That's what we need to do. One final point I got to make, brother.
Okay.
We represent 14% of the electorate. Yeah. Of the electorate. If all 14% of us had voted, which we know that didn't happen, which we know that was less than 50% of the 14% voted for Kamala Harris, we're still lost. We're still lost that election.
Yeah.
That's the sobering reality for me, is how do we come up with a viable white man that can lead this country, or better yet, a white woman that can lead this country away from these testosterone-driven white men who worried about the size of their balls and the size of their pocketbook, and that's it. Nothing else bothers. Because I'm gonna tell you something, Donald Trump and his minions hurt more white people than anybody, because it's more white people in this country than anybody.
But they don't feel the hurt as long as
they vote for him and he hurts them.
Yeah.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. He is keeping the blacks, his heel of his foot, on black and brown people. I don't care if they take all our money. If Trump don't like them colors and them Mexicans, I like him. He can get all my money.
And I'm for it because it's about white supremacy. It just gets back to that every damn time.
Right. I agree.
And maintenance of the status quo, a maintenance of the power and the financial system.
And that's why we got to educate the young people. But exactly. Because many of them don't think there's such thing as racism. All they want to know is Beyonce tickets available. Hey, brother Drew, you on mute. You have any comment?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yes, I apologize for being a little bit late. Health issues. Do have a few. Everything that you said that I've heard since I've been on here is exactly correct down to the letter from working with those agencies. A lot of people on here don't know I did work with one of those agencies you're talking about. And what you have said is exactly true. Everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything to the letter. And to me, it's sad because when I look at it, some years ago when I was a part of it, before I got injured, when we went out to get people, there was no such thing as you pick them up, you just send them to another country and goodbye. That didn't happen. You had to go through a legal process. You had to go through this. You had to go through that before anything took place. The thing I did not like about the job, and I will let you know, is when the Cubans came over and when the Haitians came over back when I had started, soon as they came, they were turning them back around. And I asked them, I said, wait a minute, you letting everybody else come in, but you stopping our brothers and sisters here, just what you said. Mm-hmm. So that made me mad and still does. Okay. And the way I see them doing it now, I mean, it's just what Amon Ra is saying. They put them in a place where, okay, they're protesting because they don't know where their family members are going, where they at, okay? Now, if they don't do something, they're going crazy. If they do something, that gives Trump the ammunition to say, hey, we got this going on here. So he's playing it to his base. So when I look at it, it just makes me mad as heck, just even seeing it and everything. But like you said, it still comes back to the racist policies of how they want to control the people in this nation and everything like that, and how they want to get rich. That's mm-hmm. what I will say about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Drew, thanks again. That's a good comment, brother. Brother Ernest, you have any comments?
Only thing, you know, a while back I mentioned to you that back in the 1950s, mm-hmm. me and my guys, we used to run around, had our little car clubs, so somehow or another, we went and looked in a book. We got to talking about immigration and what people come to America. You know, we went in the library, kind of challenged each other, and they would show you how many people from each nation would come in each year. And you'd look Europeans and Irelands and, you know, and Australians and white countries, man, they'd be hundreds of people
yep.
would come in. You look mm-hmm. like Africans, any African countries, Zimbabwe, man, about 40 or 50 people. Mm-hmm. And then I said, man, so that's always been going on, yep. like Brother Roberts.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. and it's all about money. And then what just disappoints me is you go to school and you learn about these three branches of government where they the legislature and the judiciary and the executive and how they checks and balances and all this and the Constitution. Then you get a guy in here that's in there, he just ignores all of that. And then
exactly.
what really irks me is these people that's supposed to be checking on him, they sitting there, you know, going along with
exactly.
it. Like you say, because of that money.
Exactly.
You know, they're getting paid, they're getting filthy rich in there, and they're not doing the job. So that's what upsets me, because then when you talk to young people now and they say, well, why isn't Congress, you know, but that's what I want to know. Why aren't they doing something about this? So it's I don't know. But Brother Roberts say the executive orders, and we can get rid of him the next election. We can get rid of a lot of this crap. So,
well, we think.
Yeah, hopefully, because I'm worried about what he's probably gonna do. What he said, get some other guy to run, and he pick him as VP, and then the guy resign, and he get back in there again. But even to me, that meant the Constitution specifically says you only supposed to do two terms. And I don't care what kind of underhand way he think he might get back in there, but after your eighth year, that's supposed to be it.
That's it. Yeah, but the Constitution also said there's no man above the law, but the Supreme Court said he is. So, you know, we can't, that's what we're saying. The Constitution is just as they don't follow.
I think the only thing I look at there, well, hey, they said, well, let's change that. Well, it take three fourths of the states to agree to that. So I don't think they'll get that.
Let me just tell you this. 54% of the population support Trump's immigration policy. 54%. That includes middle class Latinos and some blacks. You understand? Another 51% support his enforcement of immigration law. What they doing. In other words, send them all back. You know, I don't care if we ain't got no fruit on the table. I don't care if we ain't got no construction workers. I don't care how I hurt America. I'm against. And the only thing making them illegal is them saying they're illegal. You understand? I want you to understand that. They had a law saying we couldn't run away from slavery. Mm-hmm. You understand? I mean, they got a law. Judge Higginbotham book in A Matter of Color. He said the first thing imperialists, racists, and powerful people do is take over the law of the land. That's why they could punish Indians, but Indians could never punish them. You understand? Indians couldn't take them to court, but they could take Indians to court, put them on reservation, and make it the law. You understand? I mean, I'm just telling you. People are confused about the law. The law is what Robert has been trying to get to it, is to keep white supremacy going. They sprinkle in a few things about parking and tickets for this and that and jury and all of that. You're on the lower level. But here's a man, as Robert said, he let all the people that attacked his capital for him, called them good people, and then pardon all of them. All of them. And there's no outcry. And now, there's not only no outcry by blacks in powerful positions, influential positions. Minister Reverend Blake and all these people that got mega churches ain't saying nothing. As well as some of our prominent politicians are just talking, calling names, but they're not organizing and putting up money and educating people for the next election. Trump them is planning for the next election. They're planning for the next 4 or 5 elections.
But rest around.
Yeah.
I think they're saying as long as their check is in the mail, they're good.
Yeah,
you know, as long as they get they cut, you know, they okay, and that's what you call being educated by your oppressor, and also it's called chasing the devil.
Yeah. That's a good point, but the struggle got to continue. We can't give up hope. There's a lot of good groups doing a lot of good things, and we have to develop alliances with the Latinos. We had them in the 60s. We worked with the Brown Beret. They modeled themselves after the Black Panther Party. And we worked with Cesar Chavez. Yeah. That's why in Kwanzaa, when you put out the fruit, you don't put grapes out. Why? Mm-hmm. Because we supported the grape boycott in the 60s. That's why Kwanzaa, if you look at any Kwanzaa from the original Kwanzaa site, side. And you look at all the fruit, there's never no grapes.
That's interesting.
And the reason why, they have two A's. Kwanzaa only had one A. They put another A in there because they had a process of program with kids. And they had seven kids. Okay. So that's why they added the other A. And, you know, and people be talking about who created Kwanzaa. All you have to ask them is, man, what are you talking about? Dr. Kranger did. I was there. You understand? When they first introduced a black holiday. But then, you know, white men come in, pay some other black people to say, I created it. I did this, I did that. And he didn't ask for no money. He never copyrighted anything. He did it for the love of his people. Then they put him in prison on trumped up charges. And people still believe them charges today. You understand? They did the same thing to me. I did none of the stuff they put me in jail for. I didn't do none of that. But fight them. And they just come up with some trumped up charges. But the struggle continued. It's a beautiful struggle. Once you end it.
Professor Rowe.
Yes.
Mr. Bobby just can't join.
How you doing, Mr. Bobby?
I'm good. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, man, we've been going at it with this immigration deportation.
Yeah.
A militarization movement that's going on in L.A. and all across the country. They went in, I think, in New York in an Asian shop, nail shop, and took some Asians out and deported them. So, yeah, Mr. Bobby, what's your position right quick? We're almost coming to the end.
Well, I just think that the whole thing is a distraction to usher in what has been going on with Project 2025 and Agenda 47. And this is like a test to see if they can really put in martial law. That's what it seems like to me.
But it is.
Insurrection Act,
That's it.
Well, yeah. This is what they've been wanting to do anyway, as dismantling democracy as we know it, and then replace it with this fascism.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say, Mr. Bobby, they're already doing it. He's already a dictator. He's already a dictator. The Supreme Court gave him immunity. You understand? And he got 40% of the electric behind him and billionaires behind him. And he's a billionaire.
That's right. So my question is, who is behind them? Somebody is profiting him because he's been allowed to get away with so much. Why?
Because he's paying off the people that let him.
Is that what it is? Where is the money coming? See, to me, everything is a distraction. Somebody somewhere, and you might be correct about the money, somewhere there's a money train or money trial. Mm-hmm. That's allowing this to happen so they can get rich somewhere. But who that is, I don't know.
There's you mean richer, not rich.
Richer. There's a book by the name is Ralph Upperman called The Unseen Hand. See, you can't see them, but they there. They doing stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're behind the scene.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what wars are fought for, resources.
That's right. That's right.
What the first thing he's negotiating with, Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You want some of your minerals.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what Malcolm said that.
Yeah.
I don't care, wherever the war is about the land versus the landless. You understand? And the earth belongs to everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
Supposed to. Like I said, they didn't have no fences when nature provided borders with earth, with mountains, deserts, oceans, you know, that you couldn't cross. And you're talking about they're going to space. They're already in space. The earth is in space. You understand? Ain't nothing up under the earth. It's a part of a solar system that circles the sun.
Yeah.
Another planet. And they're all, we going to space for 10 seconds, 20, 60 seconds. They go up in a rocket and come right back down. These are some sick people. We dealing with people. And we got to get them in check. But we got to check ourselves.
That's right. Got to check ourselves.
All right, bro. First of all, this was good. Appreciate everybody. Ronnie, we got to get you back on again with your deep thinking stuff. And
my pleasure.
Okay, we'll be calling on you soon. And Brother Drew, welcome.
Thank you. Every Tuesday and Wednesday. Okay, definitely. Okay.
Nothing wrong with being that. I seek knowledge. I seek it. You understand? Mr. Bobby Beyond, he has a wealth of knowledge in this on racism and what's going on, white supremacy.
That's right.
We're going to have him to go over the 25, Project 25 for us. Because most people don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. And that is a project. Mm-hmm. You understand? Definitely. So we're going to have to get that you on again, Mr. Bobby, for that.
Okay.
You know, right there. And Ernest, you know you're always on top of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely.
All right. Roger Key, next tomorrow.
Okay.
Take us on in.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We got Dr. Inky coming back on. And it's the bioelectricity and cancer. So it's one of our health shows. So that's tomorrow at 6.
Tell them about Hood.
Okay, yeah. Brother Hood is coming back on with AI next Tuesday.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah, artificial intelligence with Professor Ra next Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And it's already here. It's already here. When you pay your bill, you're talking to a recording.
Yeah.
Push this button.
Okay.
You know, people are becoming obsolete. And there's some deep things that we got to prepare our future youth people for the future.
They was even saying AI is in the paper now about
and how the youth is going to race. They're going to use AI to stay in power, as Mr. Mm-hmm. Bobby would say, racism. Yeah. So we got to use it.
Musk got all our tax records and Social Security information, and he scored on his computers now.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we'll be talking about that next.
Yeah. Next so we can use AI with that to work on the rest of us.
Well, like we don't pay taxes, they take them.
They take them. That's it.
That's true.
They tried paying. They tried the people paying them, and they got shot. Coming up to try to collect. That's why I said no. They take taxes out before when you pay your bill. All right, Roger Key.
Okay.
Hey, listen. Let's stay together, brothers and sisters. Roger Key say, each one teach one.
Definitely.
And let's stay in the struggle. Pay attention to what's going on.
Definitely.
Prepare to defend your home and your life.
Definitely.
Because things may get real chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Real chaotic.
Yeah.
All right.
Bro. I appreciate everybody coming out tonight.
Really thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Each one, right. each one.
Okay.
All right. You have a great day.
All right. Okay. Okay.